Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show. Today is Saturday, 29 July, the year of our Lord, 2017. This is the second hour. Call-in number is 800-313-9443. Say again, 800-313-9443. We have open lines or caller's choice today, whichever you would like to call it. Basically, call in and talk about anything you want, and we'd love to have your call. I just got a note from Sam saying the phones are fine, so apparently whatever the problem is a local problem here in Missouri trying to get called in down to Texas. Try giving us a call. If you don't get an answer first time, try to do it, call again. You know, we'd be glad to hear from you. All right, Lori. Go ahead and continue with what you were talking about, the planters and companion planting especially.
Well, you said there's different things that you can put together. You can take like one of the herbal planters and plant like purple sage, cilantro, jumping viola, thyme, oregano. Or vibrated peppermint, you know, all these things can be planted together and they actually help each other. They don't, you know, fight with each other, steal the food, whatever. You could also do what some people call like a little, little Italy. Okay. They actually make, believe it or not, a patio baby mini eggplant. And you can plant it in a pot with some curled parsley, some thyme, tricolored sage, oregano. And then you have literally little Italy in a pot, you know, all the flavors of Italy. Or you can do like a bounty in a box, as they call it, by putting cherry stuffed peppers in it, purple basil, rainbow mixture of Swiss chard, and some tumbling toms, which are tomatoes, you know, all in one box, and they grow well together. It's just, like I said, there are different things, plants that you can plant together that don't take nutrition away from each other but actually help each other. So if you're unsure, just check with your local garden area and see how that is. And like you said, I know that they're more than welcome. Most garden areas welcome any gardening questions you have because they're able to share their knowledge and
tell you more stuff.
Well, this is true. They do. But like I said, these are just plants that work well together because they nurture each other. And that's a good thing. You know, we were talking to Rick earlier this week. And
yeah, and by the way, he's waiting on the line right now.
I see that. And go ahead and bring Rick in. Rick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning. Good morning, you guys.
Morning. Sorry about your difficulties in getting through, buddy. We don't know what's going on. Apparently, it's just between here and Missouri and there in Texas. So,
oh, really?
But everybody,
don't worry.
Yeah,
don't worry about that. That's fine. So, Laura, you were about to say something.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I thought you were heading someplace with this.
Well, I was, you know, telling Tim, you know, we talked to you earlier in the week before he went into surgery again. And, of course, it's been really hot here in Missouri. And you were having issues with your chickens and your garden.
Oh, brother. Ridiculous. Oh, yeah. It was, well, of course, yeah, you know, when it gets up to 105, you're going to have issues with the chickens. You're going to have to trim those. Tim knows all about that. In fact, I was getting hints from Tim about how to keep the chickens from dropping over dead. I didn't lose any. When I would close the coop up at night to keep the coons out, it was 90. And I'd buzz in and look at the report to see how low it was going to drop, and I was hoping. We've got a fan in the window.
Good.
Tim's suggestion, yeah. And that's pulling air in from a vent down low in the door. And so we're pulling in air from down low and shooting it out up high.
Right.
And so at night it did get down to, let's say, 75. So by midnight, you know, we had the chickens cooled down. Had it stayed 90 all night, I'm sure.
You'd have dead chickens, buddy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I highly suspect that. And my wife says, well, can't we just eat them? And I said, no, you can't, really. If you find them, they've been dead 8 hours. That's bad, you know.
Yeah.
You really, you really can't.
Our rule here on the farm is anything that dies and we don't know why, we don't eat.
Yeah.
It gets brush fire.
Right. Right, right. Yeah, that's right. If you shot it, you ought to know why it died. Yeah, so so the chickens are all right, but what was freaking me out, and what I couldn't believe after all these years I didn't know, is that there is an upper limit on temperatures for seed germination. And I've been, you know, mulling this over in my head. I managed to bring a package of seeds that had an efficacy or germination rate of 96% down to zero by just simply planting the seeds. Yeah, well, that's a huge leap. I'd say I was 100% successful at killing every seed. But and so now I've got this. Now I've restarted everything. All flat on the ground. I put the flats on the ground in the shade, and I've got a thermometer under them, and I've got a ground temperature under the flat at this time of the morning. I'm going to say it's probably 72 or 74. 70
right, which
dot.
Is where so you need it.
That would be nice, yeah. So if it would stay, that. Now, I got germination in 2 to 3 days. My beets are going wild, which is great because which I was kind of worried. I was getting no cooperation out of the beets at all, putting them in the beds. And, of course, we all know that's more or less a cool-weather crop anyway, but
right.
You know, you can grow them all year if you get them started. And you know what else I should mention? The deer, they will come in and they will ravage the sweet potato vines. Of course, they're edible.
Oh, yeah.
Not, you know, the sweet potato is not a potato. It's a tuber. But they will not ever touch a beet green. And what's up with that? I don't know.
I don't know.
Because, yeah, I like beet greens a lot. They're super good for you, and the deer don't like them, so that's a good thing. I will tell you one thing though: if you're gonna put your flats on the ground, you're gonna have a problem with rodents. So, and we've never talked about fox urine, but everybody ought to have a little. And it's hard to get them to pee in a bottle, but you can do it if you try. I'm kidding. Go on Amazon.com. Go on Amazon.com and you can buy little bottles of this stuff. And believe me, just a few drops around, no rodents will come around. 2 or 3 years ago, we had a great Kusha squash patch. That's
uh-huh.
I can't say that. I looked like I had a whole bunch of 25-pounders. When I picked them up, they all weighed about 1 pound. There was a little hole in the bottom. The voles and the mice had gotten in. They ate a hole. Ate everything, seeds and all. All I had were these gorgeous Christmas ornaments. That's all that was left. And so last year or two, we've been putting the fox urine around. Man, we haven't even, they don't even put a tooth mark on anything. They just cannot stand that stuff. So
good.
You've got mice and voles. That's a little bit of fox urine goes a long way. You don't want to get that on yourself. That is some stinky stuff. But no, it's horrendous. It's worse than it smells like that. Oh, never mind. Anyway, the...
Well, it's also concentrated. What you buy on Amazon is concentrated, and that's why it smells so bad.
When I bought a gallon, I've still got it. I've had it for 5 years. When I came out of the front door one day, I thought a skunk had sprayed, so I walked out to the street and looked both ways to see if I could see a dead skunk. Well, I had picked up the box that was on the front porch, and I'm walking with it, and I'm like, you know, I don't smell anything on the wind, but it seems like every time I get back to the porch, this is going wherever I go. And right. I realized then I'm holding on to the box, and this box stinks so bad you can't believe it. I didn't realize it was the box doing it. I thought, you know, that's my Amazon package. How you can always trust those, right? Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you what, I should have probably, if I ever see that guy again, I'll have to give him a tip, because that was probably the worst ride of his life with that stuff in the
car. Oh, man.
I wanted to say something about these sprouts and microgreens. Do you want to go over there this morning or not?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, you know, Rick, I was just thinking, we've got a lady on hold right now. Why don't you stay on the line? And I know what we're going to talk about. It's going to take a few minutes. Go ahead and stay on the line. And we're going to talk to Patricia in Florida real quick. Good morning, Patricia.
Hello. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. This is totally off the subject, but I haven't been able to get a word in edgewise all week. But I just discovered on YouTube that they are now putting RFID chips into all joint replacements. And I'm trying to find out if anyone knows anything and how you can present that, because I'm getting ready
for
that
know.
Kind of a thing. This
I
is
know
really
that,
urgent, and people are... Yeah.
When I had my defibrillator put in, there's one in there, too. And it's built right into the machine itself. You know, but there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, it's the way it's manufactured, and the unit is sealed. So I've got one in me, but I didn't know about it until, I would say 2 or 3 weeks after they put it in me.
Well, this is outrageous, because you're not even given the choice to turn it down.
And they don't tell you ahead of time it's in there either.
I know. We've got to find some way to combat this. And I want to put the word out there, and I'm going to try to do it on all the shows. Somebody's got to know about it.
That's a good idea, Patricia.
They've been mandated for all replacement joints.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was for joint replacements, but I knew in medical devices, I guess a replacement joint is considered a medical device, isn't it? So,
thank you. That's all. I'm enjoying your show. Thank you. And And what was the
all right? Well,
I couldn't hear what you said. Keeps rats away. What was that? That smelled
fox urine. It's something fox.
Fox
it's something
urine.
They
fox
sell
urine.
In right. They sell it in the sporting goods departments of many stores. You can buy it on Amazon online, and the actual use for it is for trapping. But it will, like Rick said, it will absolutely keep away mice and voles and rats. I mean, they run from the stuff.
Yeah, because my yard is full of fruit trees, and I had a terrific problem with rats. Terrific. And they come in and everything. I have to poison them. But the thing with it is, it was the fruit that was attracting them, so I could put it out in the yard. And you can't stop them from climbing up the trunks of the trees.
Uh-huh.
And then they go from one tree to another. So thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well, down in Florida, I remember growing up there, and the rats were a tremendous problem. They'd even get inside a car and tear them up.
Yeah, they did mine, too. Yes, they did. Yes.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank
Enjoy
you, Patricia. Appreciate your call.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, Rick, now we can start, I knew that what this conversation's going to take 15 or 20 minutes. That's the reason I wanted to talk to Patricia, so she didn't have to stay on the line for forever waiting.
No, that's perfectly fine, and up here in St. Louis, we call the rats that get in and tear up your car, we call them occupied. That's what we that's what they are. Yeah.
That's I understand.
Yeah. The microgreen thing, or the other word is sprouts. And you people have been getting them in their salads forever. But what is so intriguing is they take literally no space to grow. You can grow them on your kitchen counter or near a window because seeds actually require no light to sprout. I mean, what basically happens is you take, let's say you take three flats and you put some potting mix in them. you sprinkle your seeds on top of that, you wet this down real good,
right.
soak it, and then stack the flats to keep that'll keep them damp. If not that, you could easily just put plastic wrap around them, but in production, they're stacked. And then and then after a couple of days, if you start peeking in there, you'll see that, all the germination rates are different. For example, I did radishes, pea shoots, and sunflowers. My peas are just now coming around. It's been exactly 1 week. My peas are just now starting to get going, and I should have soaked those peas for 24 hours or at least overnight before I planted them,
right.
and they would have gotten off to a much better start. I also did not soak the sunflower seeds, which I should have, but I'll get back to that in a second because there's something to that. The radishes, however, were up and going crazy in 36 hours.
Yeah, you sent me a picture of that. That was incredible.
That is incredible. I just happened to notice it. I had it on the workbench in the garage, and I walked by, and I saw all this green hairy stuff sticking out the side, and I'm like, what's going on down here? And I uncovered it, and every seed had germinated. And I'm like, well, you know, because you don't want to leave them covered too long after they germinate, or it'll kill them.
Right.
It'd be like mulching them down and killing them. So, of course, after 36 hours, I uncovered them and exposed them to the light. And they'll be, I'll harvest them in about 3 days. So that's, with those, it's about 10 days from start to finish.
Wow.
Sunflower seeds are essentially the same thing, possibly as much as 2 weeks on the sunflower. It depends on how much foliage you would like. But one thing about sunflowers, they're very popular in the restaurant industry, and if you can buy them at the stores. But one
right.
thing about sunflower seeds, sprouts, and of course they're very nutritious. All the health health industry, these you know, whole food types, they're all a rage about sunflower sprouts, but the hull has a fungus on it. It's inherent.
Okay.
So if you soak those things overnight and you put in like a tablespoon of hydrogen peroxide while you're
right.
soaking them, it will kill the bulk of that fungus, so that when you uncover them, your stuff isn't covered with fungus. I had a little
right.
bit of fungal growth. I was just able to. If you watch Curtis Stone's video on growing microgreens, you just take a spray bottle with a little bit of white vinegar and a little bit
right.
of hydrogen peroxide and spray that fungal growth. It looks like a spider web is what it looks like, and that
right.
knocks it out right away. Yeah. So we'll be harvesting all of that here in the next couple of days. But what I'm going to say is that if you don't have a ground, if you don't have a garden, if you're in an apartment or in very limited space, or if you're not, you know, very ambulatory and you're having a tough time getting out through your yard or whatever the thing is, this is something
yeah, like
you
me.
Can do. Yeah, precisely. This is something you can do in limited space, obviously very limited time. And but the thing about it is that the nutrients in sprouts go so much further beyond the nutrients available in normal everyday food. For example, this is just one example, the whole brassica family, which includes kale, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, all that kind of thing.
Right.
Go ahead. I'll just wait right here.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Call-in number is 800-313-9443. See you in three.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
NutriMedical's Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains xanthine and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Rural Survival here on RBN, and we're speaking with Rick in Missouri. And Rick was telling us about how his garden was doing and the techniques that he's using. So if you have any questions for Rick about his techniques or anything, give us a call. Number is 1-800-313-9443. Rick, you still there?
Yes, ma'am. I am still here. And I would just finish up that the comments regarding planting microgreens. The brassica family, people will say, oh, well, you know, that's the cancer fighter. Broccoli, you know, if you want to, you know, great antioxidants and all this, if you want to fight cancer, eat your broccoli. Well, that's true to some extent, and they are onto something. But there's a chemical in there called sulforaphane. And that is the chemical that is so particularly hard on cancer cells. And then when you cook it, you're diminishing it further. Sprouts in general are meant to be eaten raw. You can use them in stir-fry, but stir-fry is only cooked for a minute anyway. So
right.
The sulforaphane chemical in the sprouts is 50 times stronger than that in mature broccoli. So, you know, sprouts, you know, if you're thinking, you know, oh, woe is me, I don't have a lot of space, all I can do is grow sprouts, believe me, that is not the attitude to take. Even people who are growing stuff outside should probably be thinking seriously about taking advantage of sprouts because it costs around a buck a flat, and that's if you count your time. I got
right.
My flats free, as you know, out of the dumpster.
Nothing wrong with that.
The only thing, no, I'll get 2-3 years out of them. And the seeds, MainStreetSeeds.com sells bulk vegetable seeds. Most of the seeds bought in bulk are incredibly cheap.
Yes.
You will find that to plant 50 pounds of sunflower seeds here in Missouri is costing around $16,
$17. Right. And that's a hell of a lot of sunflowers.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they last us. We, you know, we use it to feed the songbirds, and, of course, it lasts forever, but I'm sprouting the same seeds. You just want to get the fungus off the hulls. But you're going to use around 3/4 of a cup of that to a cup to plant your flat. So that's nothing. What is that? Probably a few cents worth of sunflower. Yeah. So
yeah, it's nothing.
Microgreens wholesale for $10 a pound. That's wholesale. You know, you're going to be paying 50% or 100% more than that. So, you know, you're going to pay $5 for a little tiny carton of it. You know, it's expensive stuff. So, you know, growing it yourself is very rewarding. It doesn't take any time. In fact, they say if you want to learn patience, become a gardener. Well, that is not required. That is not required with this. I mean, this is...
Oh, buddy, if it required patience... For me, you know, I wouldn't be a gardener.
You know me. I have
no patience.
Yeah. Well, and what would you be doing with them if you had them? They would go to waste. You don't require this. Is a crime against gardening. Growing sprouts is literally instant gratification. And I've got a bunch of kids, and you know these kids they all think they're health conscious, so I've got plenty of people to give sprouts to, and I'm going to be more popular than I used to be when I start handing out free sprouts. So, we could talk ad nauseum about sprouting, but the thing is that as a listener, you would never get it until you try it one time. And I would highly suggest when you begin, start with radishes because they're going to be up in a day and a half. The reason that they're stacking the flats is to keep these flats dark and damp. That's why they stack. They're putting the seeds, right? They're not planting the seeds. They're smearing
them
out
right on top.
Right on top and then drop a flat on top of that. So even if you're only doing one flat, that's fine. Just put a flat on top of it and put like a chunk of wood or something to hold that down. And then that's all you have to do. Then you're in there.
Hey, Rick, do me a favor. Hang on through this break because I got a few things to ask you about sprouts and some other things. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 4 minutes. And call-in number is 800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprise 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Good morning. You're listening to Real Survival here on RBN, and we're speaking with Rick in Missouri. Rick, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Cool. Yes. Go ahead. Tim, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I got some questions for you. One, on growing these sprouts. When I was young, I remember this being done. It was a popular health food thing, I guess, when I was 10 or 12 years old. And I remember people growing these sprouts on wet sponges. Have you seen that done?
Paper towels. I've seen it. It done on paper towels. Yeah, I've seen that. You would have a hard time getting the sponges or the towels to hold enough water to last for 3 to 4 days. Until you get your germination, an inch of planting medium will hold the water if you cover it. With another flat or anything, something.
Right.
So that's the whole thing. Is what they're trying to do is wet the flat one time without, because you don't want to move the seeds around while they're trying to get that little root out. So they want to wet them one time and then cover them, and then come back when they sprout. And then expose them to light and begin watering and grow them at that point like a regular plant. And then you're going to be harvesting them at around 10 to 14 days. So, I mean, goodness, a nutritious and expensive crop for you. Yeah, go ahead. Was there something else there?
No. I was just agreeing with you. I mean, you know, like you said, instant gratification. And I mean, I like sprouts. I personally like them. You know, I put them on top of salads. Hell, I've even been known to put them on sandwiches.
Well, sure. Oh, yeah, that's a goal, the wraps. Yeah, you know, with the younger crowd, that's a big deal. You know, you got to pay extra for sprouts. I think most people like salads. It's hard to walk into a restaurant anymore and order dinner when they're not going to offer you a salad. I remember I was at a wedding one time, and they came up with a salad, and they had some Churville sprouts, which is a little herb. See, that's another thing. You can sprout herbs and cut them when they're super small. And they add a dimension to a salad that most people have never even seen. And before I forget what I'm doing, there's one more thing about a sprout you ought to know. Every seed or bean, when it sprouts, and you're going to know this instantly, Tim and Laurie, when it comes up, it's got what's called codlin leaves or temporary leaves. They usually look like a little pair of Mickey Mouse ears. That's all there is to it. Then if you wait a little longer, the true leaves come through. Sometimes, depending on the sprout, you would harvest the sprout when it only has the codlin leaves, the first leaves. Now, other times, you can wait until the first set of true leaves comes through, and you can do that for two reasons. First of all, the taste changes, obviously. But the other thing is that you get a whole other appearance. So, you know, if you're in the restaurant industry and you're looking for beautiful salads, a lot of times they'll want the first set of true leaves. And in the case of a mustard, like a Mizuna, red mustard, or any, you take those as sprouts, you have a very lacy, pretty red leaf. And it looks like little elm leaves, or even finer than that, little Japanese maple leaves is what it looks like. And they're very pretty. But the flavor also changes at that point. You'll go from something very mild. Whereas if you wait for the first set of true leaves on, like a radish, you're going to get a spicier aspect. You're going to get, if you sprinkle those on your salad, you're going to get a little bit more of a peppery flavor in your salad, which, you know, depending on your mood, you know, you might not want. But I'm always all for that, you know. So
me too.
So yeah, if you just wait another 3 or 4 days, you run it up to 2 weeks, you're going to get the first set of true leaves. If you start harvesting them at a week or 10 days, you're probably only getting the codlin leaves, so that's a very mild thing. But, you know, you take something like a bean, which you can sprout. Bean sprouts, big thing in the Japanese culture. It's a complex carbohydrate is what it is. But at the point, at the very, very point, and this is like mysterious from God, at the point that that bean germinates, it explodes into something that is so completely loaded with vitamins, minerals, amino acids, that it completely chemically changes. And I would love to hear what somebody like Eric Jajewski would have to say about, you know, what happens when a dry bean becomes an entirely different food in 2 hours. I mean, that would be listen to that from, say, a religious aspect. That'd be a weird deal. I don't know if that's a Bible subject, but it seems like a miracle of sorts to me. I mean,
I agree.
Change. Yeah. It's almost something to do with creating. Yeah. So, you know, sprouting, there's all kinds of beans. If you go to the health food store, you got azuki beans, mung beans, soybeans. That's a big thing. People like to sprout soys. You got all kinds of, you can even sprout, you know, navy beans. There are all kinds of bean sprouts, and they're very, very good for you. Wonderful in stir fry. I actually prefer those for stir fry. And the other greens, like the sunflower and stuff, for salads, but that's just me.
Right. Well, yeah, it's personal preference. They're all good for you.
So, They're all really good for you. But like I said, we could talk ad nauseum regarding, you know, how cool it is and what a great concept it is, but it only takes a few minutes to try it. I mean, I'm going to bet everybody listening has a flat somewhere that they got from Lowe's when they bought some flowers. Put some. I would say to start with radish seeds. Put some potting mix on there. Wet it down real good. Sprinkle your radish seeds on top heavily. You know, kind of like you're heavily salting something. And then cover that and keep it dark. Cover it with a black a trash bag would be fine.
Right.
Something along those lines. And then in 36 to 48 hours, pull that cover off and look what you got. It's going to blow your mind.
Oh yeah, it will. It's amazing how fast they sprout. You know,
of course,
if somebody was to use the energy cleaner, I bet they'd even go better.
Yeah, they'd be sprouting as they came out of the bag. Yeah,
yeah.
You could actually, sprinkle the sprouts right on your salad just by, Anyway, you can go to MainStreetSeeds.com, or if you've got a local farm supply like mine, they keep big cans of garden seeds on their table in there all year long. We go into the MFA, which is the mutual, the Farmers Mutual around here, and they've just got cans and cans of all the common seeds. And, you know, you can buy enough seeds to do a half a dozen flats for a buck. And, I mean, so,
definitely. Again, you know something else, Rick? You can buy, you know, at least it used to be with GMO stuff. I'm not sure now. But, you know, it used to be you could go buy a 25-pound bag of beans at the grocery store for $10 or $12, and they sprout just as well as the ones that are designated for seed. Or at least they used to. I don't know.
They do. I remember when I was young, some guy said he bought himself a package of celery seed from the, not a package, a jar, a little of celery seed from the grocery store, and he was planting them, and he was sprinkling them in the dirt, and I'm like, what the heck are you doing, man? Pouring your spices out in the dirt, and he goes, they're celery seeds. What do you think is going to happen? And I remember looking at that, and like I was shot, and I'm like, yeah, what do I think will happen? Well, they're going to grow. That's what's going to happen.
Exactly.
He was getting a lot of bulk seeds from the grocery store. So, yeah, so you can, I mean, a little imagination goes a long way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Rick, if you don't mind, can we go back to the chickens for a minute?
Yep. Staring right at
it. Okay. Well, where I wanted to go is just to let people know when we're talking about heat and chickens, okay, if chickens can stand very hot weather, but the key to them living is the temperature has to drop down in the 70s at night or their body won't cool off. They might live 2, 3, even 4 days in high heat where it doesn't get cool at night. But after that, folks, your chickens are going to start dropping dead. And that's what Rick and I were talking about, cooling off the chicken house at night. If it doesn't happen, if their body is not exposed to, say, 75, 74 degrees for 4 or 5 hours at night, you know, the odds are they won't handle the next couple of days. And that's the big thing about cooling down chickens. There's a million different ways to do it. You know, let your imagination be your guide. But what Rick did was the smart thing. He's sucking air out from the low end of his chicken house and blowing it out the top end, which gets the hot air out much quicker. And it will cool down the chicken house much quicker. You know, that's the smart way to do it. You didn't lose any chickens, did you, Rick?
Yeah. No, I didn't lose any chickens. Yeah, no, I did what you did. I did what you said. I went up to Walmart and got that $20 box fan, put it right in the window. And as a matter of fact, it did pretty well. I got 15 chickens. I had 13 eggs yesterday. So apparently these girls are pretty happy.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, that is the key. Yeah, that's the key to keeping them alive, though, is cooling them down at night. You know, chicken has no problem with 115-degree temperature, but they have a problem if they can't cool down.
Well, when they're sitting there with their mouth wide open, you know there's a problem.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, the other key is keeping cool, fresh water out for them. And clean fresh water, I should be saying, but cool also. We've even gone as far as putting ice cubes in the water, you know, when we change the water.
Yeah, we've done that.
You know, we got the ice cubes. Why not?
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. I did a thing I saw off the internet. I took about 12 feet of 4-inch PVC and tied it to the inside of the coop fence and then put a vertical on it, about a 3-foot vertical with a cap, and put chicken nipples all along the bottom. A chicken nipple is like a little gerbil water. And then fill that with water, and it probably holds 10 gallons. And then that lasts quite a while, but I could pour ice cubes. It's a 4-inch pipe, so it's pretty big. I could pour ice cubes in there, and I'd have no problems whatsoever.
Right. Well, just anything to help lower their body temperature just a little. That's what the goal is. And, yeah, you know, the fan is the easiest and probably most effective thing. You know, of course, there's also the thing, you know, think about, you know, what happens when I lose electricity. You know, therefore, it'd be good to have a little generator, you know, even if that's the only thing you use it for.
Right.
Because, you know, if all your chickens die and in a grid down situation, you're going to have a problem replacing those chickens.
Well, you are. I put them in just for that reason, so I would have some sustainable protein. Because, you know,
right,
remember when they wiped out the deer population in Missouri during World War II, there were no deer left because every
right
guy with a rifle shot a deer, and that was the end of that. So, you know,
right,
if you're thinking you're going to do Davy Crockett and head for the woods with your rifle, you can just forget about that.
Well, that no, you're not going to survive purely off game. Now, you know, if you're looking simply for protein, I don't recommend a rifle for hunting. I recommend snares. But they're very illegal for a larger game. But, you know, in that kind of a grid-down situation, I don't think the game wardens are going to be out there enforcing it. If you need a deer, believe me, there's a way to get one.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, the great thing about traps is they don't miss much, and they hunt 24/7. They don't even take Christmas off. I mean, so
that's correct.
You know, if you put a trap out there, you know, that thing's pretty much looking for game all of the time. So, but you do have to monitor them. You can't just walk away.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want
to. Well,
you
if you don't monitor them,
dog or something. Yeah.
Right. If you don't monitor them, what happens is your meat goes bad. If you only go out there every other day and it's not freezing cold,
right,
you know, you've killed something that you can't eat.
Right. Yeah,
you know. So
yeah, no, you need to be out there twice a day checking your trap.
At least twice a day, absolutely.
Right, right. Yeah,
you know.
I've got a whole bunch of them. I think they're handy dandy. You know, the thing is, you know, possums and raccoons are incredibly plentiful. And I know everybody thinks, well, I'm going to get a deer. Well, go ahead, but you know, deer don't even have fat.
Right.
Raccoon is nothing but fat. So
right, want
to think about that.
And if you cook it right, it actually is good. I made some for Lori here, it's been 5 or 6 years ago, that had been run through a meat tenderizer, one of those electric machines that has the teeth on it.
Yeah. Right.
And I didn't even tell her what it was, and she loved it, and so did I. I knew what it was, but I absolutely loved it. You know,
here in Missouri, that's a deal. I mean, that's a deal. You know what I did? I downloaded half a dozen recipes for raccoon and for possum. And I put them in my folder, hard printed them, and put them in my folder so that if I ever actually have to, you know, I'd probably rather have something else. But if I have to eat raccoons, at least I have a hard printed copy of the recipe.
Right. And of course, just like with any other tough meat, you know, you boil it down long enough, it becomes tender.
Oh yeah.
You know, so
that's exactly right. Yeah. Which and there's about a million ways to do that. You know, you can use all kinds. You can even use logs. You know, you can use logs and turn them into rocket cookers. And you can you can cook your whole dinner on one log if you know what you do. It's called a Swedish something, and it just won't come to me now. We had a bunch of stumps in my son's yard, and we were walking around Wednesday looking at them. And he was showing them to me, and one was rotten, and he was kicking it. Well, sure enough, within 5 to 10 seconds, we were both getting stung. I had bees on both hands. He got it all the way up the back of both legs, and he took off to the neighbor's house. And I said, "Where are you going?" And he goes, "Well, they're beekeepers." And he said, "I'm going to go talk to those people. I warned them about the bees." And I said, "Dude, those are not honeybees. You're stomping on a ground hornet nest, and they're
oh, yellow jacket
because of it." There were yellow jackets, and man, they lit us up. They lit us up good. But the way we got rid of it all was we took the chainsaws and cut big X's in them, just like a Swedish rocket stove, and we turned every stump into a Swedish rocket stove. And
there you go.
They're all gone now. That's amazing. Oh yeah, yeah. They just went up. They went up like a torch. It was cool.
Oh yeah.
Well,
I'll tell you. If you ever want to get stung by yellow jackets, try running a brush hog over one. I did that one time.
They hate everything. They have they just have a bad attitude. But what I thought was hysterical was he was gonna go assault the neighbors on account of it. Like, when I said they were ground hornets, yellow jackets, he looked at me like he was shot. He's like, because they've been stinging his dogs and doing everything, and he's been raising hell with them. Like,
right.
Oh, honeybees do never act like this. You can actually let them sit on your hand and they don't do anything.
Oh, that's absolutely correct.
But that was the funny. That's kind of why I would like to make a series of small videos, at least for my kids, on things just exactly like this. Stuff they will never listen to.
We're going
to
do that.
But maybe someday. Yeah, maybe someday they can look at that and laugh or whatever. I don't care what they do, but it'd be great.
Hey, Rick, we're coming up on our last break. Oh. Go ahead and hang on if you want. We'll go ahead and finish out the show. We don't have any callers waiting or anything. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Lori Spencer. Today is Saturday, the 29th day of July, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Man, the year is going fast, Rick.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind getting into some cooler weather. That wouldn't hurt my feelings much. It certainly won't hurt seed germination. From that point of view, I'm a big fan. So we'll just have to... We'll just have to wait it out, I suppose.
Yeah, well, that's all. You know, that's our only choice. I'm really looking forward to when it cools off a little bit. I want to get some greens in the ground, you know, the cool weather crops and some beets,
right,
and, you know, stuff like that. You know, I didn't get to garden at all this year, so I'm raring to go. I want to get out there. And, you know, if we got a high of 75 degrees, I really want to get out there.
Right, right. Well, you're we're getting close to we're getting close to fall weather now. We're getting through the peak of the summer, I think, came and went. So we'll see where that all goes. And cool weather crops that people want to think about this, because you know now is the time to just kind of plant that seed in your head. That a lot of the people will be putting their believe it or not, their cool weather crops in mid August. So you've got some time left. You've got a few weeks, really just about any time from now on would be fine. But a lot of people are putting in their third crop of the year mid to late August, and it works very well. A lot of these crops are 30 to 60 day crops, so that's not a problem.
Right. Absolutely correct. You know, that's what I was thinking with my collards and stuff like that. You know, I'm a big collard green and spinach lover. I mean, you know, to me, the ideal meal is collard greens, black-eyed peas, cornbread, and something pork. You know, that to me is the ideal meal.
Yeah, get some ham bits in there and some cracked black pepper. And, that is. And I can tell you that down in the South, they raise some very large human beings on that food right there. And those people are doing some incredibly hard labor. So that stuff is just madly good for you. Of course, the elite people would have never put that stuff in their mouth. But it was so insanely nutritious. I'm totally for it. Vates is, I think, the common name for collard greens. If you go to buy them, they will try to sell you the seeds as Vates. V is in victory. Vates.
Oh.
And why that is collard, why that is, I have no idea. But I was down in the river bottom, and there were some black ladies cutting greens, and I couldn't help it. They were out in the fields cutting greens. And I got out of my truck, and I walked out into the field and talked to them out there. I just had to know. And I said, you know, what are you ladies doing? He says, well, the farmer will let us cut all of these greens that we want for free, because he's getting ready, of course, to turn the turnips over or to leave them for deer. It could have been a forage crop. God only knows. He was going to let them go out and take all they wanted. And I said, well, you know, I would just absolutely love to hear your recipe. And she was thrilled to give it to me. You know, because those gals are pretty proud of their cooking, and they make wonderful things. And she gave me a great sound. Her recipe sounds like your recipe.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they're pretty much the same.
I think so.
Well, Rick, buddy, I appreciate all the time you spent on the air with us today. Made for a great show. And I also appreciate all the other callers. And anyway, folks, we'll be back same time, same channel next week. Don't have any guests scheduled, but that might change between now and then. So I hope everybody has a really fun and safe weekend. Take a few minutes to think about your preparedness activities and supplies. So have a good one, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.